I appreciate everyone's presence for this study. This is a very comprehensive study, but it's one going to build foundations from which we would attempt to answer questions. The title of this series is A Study of the Local Church, and this particular lesson is called The Local Church in Your Spiritual Future. I've been developing this material actually over 30 years, but I know that recently this particular series of outlines, I wanted to develop in a way to help people recognize that the choice of a local church that you attend has significant consequences. And hopefully it will be a good choice and blessings and consequences of a good way. We've oftentimes said there's two important decisions we make in our life. One would be becoming a Christian, and the other, who do we choose to marry? And you know, it may well be true the number three most important decision we make is what local church we choose to attend. And so this morning I want to show you that, of how that has an effect over a lifetime and how we would go about honoring God and making the right choices. So let's see if I can get the PowerPoint sharing here. And there we go. And so let's talk about the local church and your spiritual future. First off, we're social creatures. And as social creatures, we are greatly influenced by our relationships. I'll have to admit to you, coming back here to Charlottesville, knowing the people that were here, our past relationship together, made this decision one that was very appealing, and I was glad that we were able to come back and be amongst you. Proverbs chapter 12 in verse 3 said, "A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. The thought of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful." One of the things that I've taught our children, and I would teach anybody, your future will be determined by your relationships. That will be not only in marriage, but also in those that you bring into your life as friends. You can see the direction of your future in the direction of your relationships. And so if we put God first, then we will be blessed. But we may be put into some very difficult circumstances. When we talk about local church, there's sometimes we need to leave a local church. That we'll talk about that later in the course of this study. But Proverbs 12:26, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." We don't have to go very far in the New Testament to find that you can have those that really don't serve God in religious groups. You can have leaders that are not leading in the way that they ought to lead. And Psalms 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night." And so again, if I was to make a really brief summary of this first lesson, we realize that brethren are not perfect. Local churches have problems. We understand that local churches exist because of the will of God, but it's very important that at the core of a local church, that there is a delight in doing God's will. As in marriage, you find yourself helping one another go to heaven. 1 Peter 3:7 talks about the believing husband who has a believing wife, that they're heirs together of the grace of life. It is critical that you find a local church that has that commitment to the Lord. It's interesting, as you talk about our needs, I do think this last year has made us far aware of our social needs, of how indeed we need one another, and how when you begin to have isolation, as the governments have made decisions to isolate people, that's a very difficult thing to be withdrawn. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about a local church when it functions as it ought to. We should be knowing one another, involved with one another, praying for one another, influencing one another. as 1 Corinthians 12:25, it says the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Local churches are given by God. They're given by God for our spiritual growth. But what if it's going in the wrong direction? What if it has a leadership that is just not spiritual? What if it's, there's decisions that you have to look at. And again, there's some basic things we'll talk about. But finding a church being shepherded and guided in the right way, where you have shepherds who are shepherds under the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, that they're willing to, as verse 3, 1 Peter 5, as being lords, nor as being lords over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock, that when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So local churches are critical. That helps us to grow. But local churches can go down a bad path. And that's the fascinating thing. I'll have to admit to you that in my study, I love history. And I've seen it in my lifetime where churches that once were very strong took a bad turn and they ended up literally destroyed in time because of it, ending up in something completely different, doctrinally and every other respect than what they used to be. And so that's why, as you look at local churches, we've got to make sure that we find a local church that Christ is at the head. And so now let's do a little discussion now, if we could, for those that would like to. As we talk about local churches, and I think I've got some discussion questions there on the bottom of page 2, if you happen to have the outline, that's okay. But let me ask this question. If we chose to go to a congregation that was not committed to the doctrine of Christ, if they've got a tradition in the past of being sound, but they're no longer really teaching what they ought to teach, could we just be a part of that church and not be affected?
Larry?
Yes.
Perhaps it would be possible, but we also know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It could act in the reverse way. A lot of leaven could affect our leaven of knowledge until it changes our spiritual maturity into immaturity.
Interesting, local churches have leadership and they're leading in some way. And it may be there's a leadership where we run from doing what's right. We run from solving problems. And you teach that. And it's interesting as you go to the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you have the seven churches of Asia. And the Lord threatened to remove the candlestick from some of those churches. And so the point would be made in all of this is that churches have a leadership. They're going a certain direction. There's a point in which you might have turned them, but there's also a point I do believe you have to leave them. And again, we'll talk about that in the course of the study. We're sort of setting up this study, but what it's going to take is discernment. And verse 2 of Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. I try to teach, and I've had opportunities in congregations I've been at that involve also teaching my own children. I'm trying to get young people early on to see that there's a reason oftentimes why you have different churches that are not in fellowship with one another. It's not that everything done in the past was right. It's not like past generations got it all right. But oftentimes you will find that there had to be a planning of a new church in an area because of the direction that the local church is taking. And I think there's a point of no return that can be reached. And to me, if I was to give the basic thing to look for, and that is they're willing to be taught. And, you know, you can know if they're willing to be taught. You know, you'll have, so I've seen churches, they'll make the announcement that if there's something that we teach that is not found in Scripture, bring that to attention. We would like to hear from you. If there are some things we're not teaching, that we're willing to do that. And I'm talking about being sincere about it. You can tell the difference between a group of people and individuals that says, you know what, I'm willing to look at any question from the Scriptures. I really want to do right. And to me, that's the bottom line. And I realize there's different questions that people can bring up. I realize you've got different levels of maturity. I'll never forget when I first became a Christian, I started studying some of the differences that existed amongst churches of Christ in the community I was in. And I was a young Christian. I didn't really have the background to know. And one of the things I tried to do is I just tried to get people together. And I was shocked. I was stunned by how that I myself as a new Christian was presented as a threat to the leadership that I loved and wanted to defend. But they didn't want to study. They did not want to go down the path. And of course, as I look later, now that I've many years being a Christian, I look back and they really had no leadership. That literally that congregation, again, I'm going to tell you something you're going to say is crazy, but it really happened. I remember hearing the two preachers on a retreat I was going to. I was a college student, and their discussion, a good bit of their discussion on this trip to the retreat was, how can they get the elders to attend on Wednesday night? And that just, it seems like, it almost seems like a joke, but that's what they were facing. They had no leadership, and there was an absolute terror of any discussion. There was just a fear of open discussion. And that church now, the church that baptized me into Christ, now has a completely different view on plan of salvation, the inspiration of Scripture, women, homosexuality, you just name it. And that church, when they called me to become a Christian, they were teaching the gospel. And so that's the point I'm wanting people to see. In my life, I see I had to make a choice to leave that church. And that was a very hard choice. And so to me, one of the first things is, are they willing to look at Scripture? I realize that emotion is a big problem when it comes to, you know, studying any question. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 talks about the immature and unstable. It says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, who is the head, Christ. Now, one of the problems you face, sometimes it's sincere and sometimes it's not. But I can remember people when I started trying to study and being as a new Christian about, you know, questions, there were people that wanted to get very emotional. They didn't want to open Scripture, but they wanted to share stories about how people were bad or mean, or they'd come up with some crazy stories about how people wanted to neglect the poor and other things like that. And I can remember, you know, I tried to get to Scripture. Let's talk about local churches. Let's talk about what should a local church believe? Let's talk about some fundamentals. The local church, there are certain things that are doctrinally essential for a church to be found under the headship of Christ. There's some things they do. They do it not because men have chosen to do it. They do it because the Lord said to do it. Look at a few verses here. 1 Corinthians 11, 20. It says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things done for edification. Why do we meet? Why do we meet? Well, that was something that we read in the New Testament was designed by God. It wasn't a synagogue. It was a local church. We read about it in Acts 2, the very beginning of the church. And then we read about on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 11, 20 says, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not the Lord's Supper. And here they had departed from God's teaching, but they weren't going to correct it. But the idea of having the Lord's Supper, that did not exist until Jesus instituted it on the night of his betrayal. And it began to be practiced in Acts chapter 2. And so again, here's something that local churches should be being a part of. And the reason why they do it is because they stay under the authority of the apostles. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We don't do this because we just want to do it. This is something that the Lord instructed to do. Observe Lord's Supper, observe Lord's Supper on the regularly, steadfastly on the first day of the week, Acts 2:42, Acts 27. And I can't believe that we'll see that there's to be a weekly assembly. In the partaking of the Lord's Supper, we see it's the first day of the week, and the idea of the of a specific contribution in 1 Corinthians 16, we see that they were to lay aside on the first day of the week. Other translations say the first day of every week. Now, this was a temporary contribution, but this contribution was there a specific day and frequency that it was to be collected. And so what we would do today, if we're going to collect money for any cause, any purpose, then we're going to follow what we find here in 1 Corinthians 16. On the first day of every week, churches could had a treasury. They sent money to preachers. 2 Corinthians 11:8, I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And on we go. Churches were to appoint elders. They were to have a certain responsibility in those things. So again, I'm going to pause here for a moment from my presentation. And I'm going to stop the sharing of the screen. And let's unmute. Guys, any of y'all want to unmute? And let's have a brief discussion here. I'm just trying to introduce the idea of choosing a local church is really important. Do y'all have some things you want to add to that? I mean, maybe things that you've talked to your children about, maybe things that you've had to experience. I do know, I mean, you know, Connie and Kathy and Chris and you know, there was time in 2005 that you had this crazy family move up here and we kind of started together and really glad we did. That has impacted us. I hope it's impacted you. What are some things that you think about when you're trying to choose a local church or trying to think about the direction a local church is taking?
Larry, unfortunately. No, go ahead, Martin.
Thank you. I was just going to add that the issues that we've always dealt with is as our kids left home to encourage them to find a local congregation as one of their determinants of where they chose to go and live. And work and go to school and so forth as preeminent in that decision, because that support is so necessary for the Christian. And we ourselves have made those decisions as a married couple in choosing where to go to work or not work because of the circumstances. And you really have to weigh the absence of that, if you move yourself into the situation. I just think of, you know, a righteous Lot. He moved himself into a situation where he really lost that type of support that Abraham's family would have been giving to him, and like the local church provides for Christians today. The issue comes into when you find yourself in that circumstance where there is no local body that is adhering to the gospel of Christ. And for me, that's the bottom line. I agree with your perspective from an evangelist. I can work with a congregation as long as they're willing to listen and learn and accept teaching and grow. From the perspective of evangelists, such as Paul's work all through the book of Acts. But I think about what we see in Revelation, and those churches there as a member of a local congregation, as long as they're adhering to the gospel of Christ, I can have fellowship. if they are no longer adhering to the gospel of Christ, they are no longer the local church. They're something else. And I can't be a part of that. And so I my compromise cannot be to attach myself to something that is not adhering to the law of the gospel of Christ, because it's not the local church. It may be some other organization with titles and names on the building, but it is not the body of Christ. And for me, that's the delineation of either staying or going.
Okay. Excellent observations. It's really important. And I realize that, you know, that there are a lot of questions that we could talk about what local churches should or should not do. And I realize that in those questions, we actually have some room for discussion, as long as we don't force our belief on someone else. There's a lot of things we'll talk about. We don't divide the moment we have a disagreement, but there is that core, and that's the emphasis, as Martin pointed out. There's that core. We really have Jesus as a shepherd, and I'm not afraid to open God's word up and talk about differences. And that was the one thing that startled me way back in 1973 when I obeyed the gospel. I found people I could not get people together to study. Only, I remember on one question, only one group of people would be willing to study and the other wouldn't. And that just shocked me. It really shocked me. And I realize now why. Because they had made a commitment to, rather than study the Word of God, they were going to pressure people, browbeat people. They really didn't matter whether or not they had Bible authority for what they did. They were going to do it. And therefore that church ended up, like I say, just went off the deep end in time. And so that's the thing we've got to look at. We'll be influenced. We'll be influenced for good or bad. As Chris said, a leaven. Let's let that leaven be of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to go back to the share. Any other discussion? If not, we'll go back sharing screen. And then I'm going to talk about some of these articles that I have in the outline in just a minute, just to clarify some things. So let me go ahead and let's go back to the PowerPoint. What do we look for in a local church? Now, I will have to tell you, brethren, I think you know this. There are a lot of people that may come to Charlottesville, and they will, I'm not saying this has actually happened, but I'm speaking theoretically. Somebody may stick their head in our services and go, "Ooh, that's not what I'm looking for." Okay. I can live with that. Because really, they might not be what we're looking for. Again, not trying to be arrogant or condescending. But we want to build the local church in a way where what we have in common is a love for the light. John 3:19-21 says, "This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Now, verse 21, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." What is one of the most common factors for, let's say, a family that, let's say, would move into this area? Now, they should have researched ahead of time, as has already been pointed out by Martin, before they move into the area, and know what kind of churches are there. But why would it be maybe some families not choose to be a part of the North Charlottesville Church, but go somewhere else, and it not be on the basis of truth, but another basis? And you know where I'm going. Well, I need to have friends for my children. I need to have associations for my children. And I appreciate that. When we moved here in 2005, not that we're anything special, but we moved our children in, you know, during their high school years and middle school years for our daughter, Emily. And you know what? We could help them make relationships with others, even though there was very few or hardly at all anyone here. You can have your children have relationships with others. There's ways of doing that. And it may take some travel and some other things to make contact. But if you choose a church that is compromised doctrinally in order to try to help your children build faith, could I tell you, you are delivering your children to a path where they will not love the light? And that's the thing that startles me. But you see that oftentimes, I think I would consider these very weak Christians at best. But somehow they think the church is going to somehow build faith in their children. And I'm sure local churches can. But they've got to put God first. And I know that both of my boys, Stephen and Nathan, when they came here, Stephen said, man, this was a hard experience coming to Charlottesville. We were at a place where everybody went to church. We came up here where, you know, you needed on purpose to go to church. And they both admitted later, it was a great event for them to build faith. Actually being in a more isolated situation, but loving the truth, standing and making sacrifices, dealing with the hard things, actually is exactly what our children need to establish faith. And so again, there's a lot of things we could say about that. But I would say, as Jesus did in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is him who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And finally, John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And so again, above everything, I want to be amongst disciples of Christ. And, you know, we've got to learn how to discuss differences. We've got to learn how to work together. But I believe with all my heart that if we love the Lord and love his word, there's not a problem we can't work out in local churches. But without that commitment, we're playing games. We're down a path. It's not if, but when, until it all is destroyed. And we pray we'll have the wisdom to see that and know what action we need to take. You see, the idea of this study, could I tell you very frankly, this takes time. I don't expect you to go through these series of studies and be able to answer every question. There are going to be a lot of new questions you've never thought of. And there are a lot of things to think about. That's fine. We're under Jesus as our shepherd. We're going to learn. We're going to study. There will be some differences we have in our group on this. That's fine. Let's talk about it. Let's study it. Let's think about it. Let's show respect for one another. Let's find the way to work together at the same time praying God will help us to grow and see some things we haven't seen before. You see, that sort of love and trust, that kind of atmosphere in a local church is how growth comes. And unfortunately, I think in some churches, they think they've got to circle the wagon and intimidate people who raise questions. And that's never going to produce God's fruit. And so now I'm going to, again, stop the share here and might encourage some of you to, if you might want to discuss, to unmute and discuss some things. I'm going to first, before I go to do the discussion, I want to deal with some of the questions there, if you've got the outline. But let's talk about why, if you're already in a local church, why is it difficult to begin considering questions that could cause you to leave? Why is that a difficult thing?
Larry?
Yes.
It's no secret to most people what we have experienced in the past before we came to Charlottesville. When questions were raised, accusations were made that I was being divisive, which is probably the greatest one, you know. You're rocking the boat here. As one brother pointed out to me, he said, we all just kind of hunkered down in our little bunkers and kept our mouths shut because to speak out was to basically invoke the wrath of the preacher. And it did no good for our children. It did no good for us. It's a terrible situation to be in.
And Chris, what happened to that congregation? At one time, I think what they were as many as maybe 80 or 90 at one point, maybe. But what's the status of that congregation today?
They're gone. That's right. Completely folded. That church no longer exists.
There are many, many scarred people that were hurt. And I know that when I'd make my trip up to the Stafford area to have the Thursday studies that you are part of, Chris, we was trying to reach people. A lot of refugees, a lot of people just stopped attending altogether. They were beat down. And that's a sad case, but there are a lot of other cases like that. And again, you see the characteristic of, are we loving one another, building trust? Are we studying? Or is it my way or the highway? Other points to brace? Any other points?
Larry, in Ephesians chapter 2, I'm reminded of the phrase where it says that we're to, I think this applies to the local church, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom we also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. I like to emphasize, I think what Paul is emphasizing there is the activity of the verbs in the last verse, is that we are being fitted together. It's not that when I join a local church, my block of stone that I represent is not to change and mold in order to fit with my other members so that we work together perfectly. And I have to have, as you mentioned, the attitude of growing and realizing that I'm not one and done. That it says I am being fitted together. I am growing into a holy temple. We run into problems when we think we're done and that everybody else has to mold to me. The only person we have to mold to is the chief cornerstone. And that's Jesus Christ. And I think when local congregations keep that mindset, they don't have problems. And it's when we lose that attitude and develop that closed-mindedness that you spoke against, is when we are no longer molding ourselves to fit together well. I don't say that we need to inject into the concrete mix the element of compromise, but there are ways in which I certainly have to mold. And Romans 14 talks about that in areas of opinion and so forth. I have to be willing to do that. And again, when we don't have the attitude of being willing to, we're going to have problems. And if someone comes in and they're unwilling to mold, that's going to be an issue that we'll have to deal with.
Yeah, how you build. And it's not complicated. It really isn't. It's like loving God and loving your brethren and making God's word the basis, as you put it out in Ephesians 2:20, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And it works. It works. You grow. You build relationships and attitudes of people you can trust. And anyway, and there are people that, I guess, because they won't take shortcuts, Yvette.
Back to the question I'm hearing you ask earlier, why is it hard for us to disagree? And, you know, when we love one another, we don't want to disagree. And we're so familiar with that, you know, in a marriage, you love your spouse and you don't want to disagree with your spouse. You want to always agree on everything. Sometimes you disagree and that hurts and it's hard, and friendships the same way. And we ought to have friendships. We ought to have very close relationships within the local church, the Lord's body, based on our faithfulness, you know, our faith in God, that common bond. And we don't want to disagree. We really want to agree, and that's hard. So back to your your point. Yeah, we want to agree, and there's going to be a lot of threats to, well, how can we come to agree? And I don't know what all you'll get into in these lessons, but that's hard.
One of the most difficult things that I had to do was to leave the church in that which I was, that had led me to Christ, called me out of denominationalism. It was hard. But I was determined that some of the questions that were raised, I was going to study these questions out. And I was going to teach others. I was not going to ignore it. I was going to, whatever side it came on, I would go contact preachers from the other side and want to study with them. And I tried to find, and I decided, look, I got to make faith my own. And I'm glad I did. I remember my brother wanted to be about to be baptized, and I directed him to another church that I knew was solid. I wasn't sure about where I was at, but I had my brother go to a place where I knew they were solid. And I'm really glad I made those decisions early, because if he had been got connected to the church that I was at then and made social relationships and possibly chose who he was to marry from those churches, you talk about local churches, and particularly as you're young, you know, that's going to be where your friends come from. It's likely where you're going to be, where you're going to marry. And if those churches are going in the wrong direction, I've been amazed at how people just, you know, they talk about the frog being boiled by raising the temperature, you know, just a little bit at a time incrementally. I've been amazed of how churches in time gave up the plan of salvation, gave up the most basic things on morality, and everybody just goes along. And that's the danger. That's the influence that you see. And again, I don't want to paint a dark picture. You got to leave every place you're at, and then you got somehow be suspicious of brethren and leave at the moment of a disagreement. We talked about that. But I am talking about wisdom. And we need to make sure that our loyalty is to the Lord. I'm going to mention a few things, and then we're going to close in just a few minutes here. Let me mention some things about the articles that I included for reading. One of them was called Why I Left the Christian Church by Floyd Decker in 1944. Now, the reason why I put that article in there is I think that it contains a perspective. And here's the point, that when you shift your emphasis away from Scripture and having authority for your practices, it's rarely just one thing that goes off track. You go off track in all kinds of things. Now, the reason why I want to say something about these articles, this article was written in 1944, and we don't have these issues defined. There are some things that he opposes that, well, depends on how you define it, I may think it's okay to do. And there are some things that there's lack of clarity in some of the points. Now, I know how I would define it and what I think he means by it, but don't view this as some kind of creed. Oh, you've got to line up on all these questions, and therefore, now I'm just, the reason why I put the article in here was to show you that, you know, if you talk about the Christian church and the introduction of instrumental music in the 1860s, a lot of people say, well, that was just one issue. Well, what happened there, that was not just that one issue, but it was an overall attitude towards Scripture. And then by time, you just see it was kind of like a domino effect, where there were all kinds of compromises, and even to the point where even, like I say, everything was given up, open fellowship, plan of salvation. So that's the reason why I have that article there. And I just want you to be aware that you may read some of that thing and, well, what's wrong with that? And I might say, well, I'm not quite sure what he's saying. It's like, for instance, churches observing Christmas. Well, we're talking about collectively. You know, we're not trying to determine the question about how individuals may want to choose and handle a day. And so there's some things that just lack clarity, and I just want you to be aware of it. I remember sharing that with somebody sometime, and they had all kinds of positions they thought I held because I shared the article and go, no, I don't hold that view. And so anyhow, so just some interesting thoughts. Okay, well, that's all I really had today. We can have one more open session here for any discussion. Any other observations before we kind of close things up?
Larry, I wanted to ask a question.
Okay.
I think most of us understand what you covered. In my life, I've seen the problems come in among brethren where they don't know what constitutes opinion or what are you going to draw your line in the sand at when you're with a group that maybe they do things differently, or there's just some differences. And that's where I've seen in my lifetime growing in the church where there's been some division or some thorns that have come up. People have a hard time determining where that's going to be. And I think you have to, for me, I have to know, what am I going to constitute as being a compromise? And what am I going to understand is truth? You know, what is God holding me to do when I worship with a group?
And that's a great question. And this is kind of like we get this on a call-in radio program. You get one of these very comprehensive, complex questions. And so I would sometimes toss it over to somebody else like Martin. Now I'm going to let you answer that one, but no, just kidding. But the idea of fellowship is a complex one. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that starting actually next week. Some things I think right now, not that I'm trying to create a creed, but I believe that there are things that we would need to believe. And not that this is all comprehensive, but the plan of salvation, inspiration of scripture, and the necessity of having Bible authority for our practices. I would start there. But let me tell you again, even as we talk about that, we're going to be determining this fellowship on the basis of a local church. And that's how we're going to work this through. I know that some brethren have tried to, in public writings, to come up with some magic formula that's going to fit for every situation. And I appreciate the efforts. there's not an easy answer, but it's not a difficult answer. Again, as we get involved with each other, and we'll develop that in time. I would have at least some minimums that I would talk about, and then we could develop that as we go along. Good question. But you see, if we have things come up of our differences, I'm not afraid of our group. I know who you are. You know us. You know, we work through things. And so if local groups would have leadership to that extent, we would be in much better shape. But you're not, when you try to maybe do something involving multiple congregations, and I'm not sure of any avenue we have for that except having people read the Bible, sometimes we get into trouble on some of these other questions. But again, that's we'll talk about that in time. Great questions. I think we've hit our time limit. I'm trying to limit us to 45 minutes today. I hope you've found this profitable. And I'm going to go ahead and end out here. And Martin, if you would, let's give me a call on the phone. And let's talk about how we're going to handle this next group. And so I'm going to go ahead and end here. And thank you, everybody.